I and my other colleagues, all Democratic attorney generals, have endorsed Kamala Harris for president of these United States. And I think an attorney general obviously knows, is in the best position to know what and a former attorney general is capable of. And Kamala Harris clearly is capable and is probably and is the most qualified individual to run for president. In fact, more qualified than the last four presidents.
I love, well, she's getting her attorneys, I'm saying that right, her attorneys general to help her with some of this now. The Democrat, the whole Democrat, machine to get her elected. They're desperate to get her elected. And I got a lot of, I got some polling to go through with you as well that we're going to touch on here coming up. But the media, as I keep saying, is all in on her. And it's really one of the, it never stops being infuriating. And I was thinking back actually this morning when I was looking at all of the latest headlines on this. I mean, I think I've been covering media malpractice since 2008, actually probably even before then, if I'm being honest about it. And I've never been a fan of the way that legacy press is, the way that they go about trying to rehabilitate and run interference on behalf of these candidates, because, you know, they're supposed to be doing this on behalf of the voter, right? Not on behalf of like a candidate. I mean, they're supposed to, I mean, that's first and foremost, they're supposed to be on our side, right? They're supposed to be our ability, our way to limit government and hold government accountable. And, you know, all this stuff that you hear about the press supposed to be, you know, when you're growing up and, you know, as I was and growing up and being this like very idealistic, you know, journalist student, and then you come to the reality of it, and it's really just, I mean, it's really just by and large, it's propaganda. And I've got a million headlines of this to get into, but the biggest are all of these insane stories rehabilitating her, not just her record, but and I'm not even saying that right. Not even rehabilitating her, rewriting history on it. It is terrifying how quick it happens. And I keep thinking that if we didn't have at least X, I think, how much worse do you think it would be, Kane, if we didn't at least have X? How much worse would it be?
You're seeing what's happening now with Google, where you can't even look up.
Oh, I haven't even gotten into that yet.
Oh, I know. But just seeing this landscape of censorship on the left, and then X seems to be that beacon, that little light that shines in the darkness. Yeah.
So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of our first hour this Monday, and a number of things to jump in on. First and foremost, you know, we'll get into bread and circuses. I'm least into bread and circuses. But Politico has a piece out where they're rewriting her history on fracking. They said Harris campaign pledges she won't ban fracking. And they've made a very big deal out of this, saying that this is, you know, she's not going to ban it. She's committed to not banning this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Except, you know, she's on video in an interview where she's saying just this very thing. Audio soundbite 13, roll the tape, please.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah.
That was in 2020. That was in 2020 when she was running for president and she was barely scraping by at 1% and she was trailing Pete Buttigieg. That was in 2020. She's on the record as saying she would absolutely ban fracking. That's a pretty serious. And the reason I bring this up is because Politico is insisting that no. She says that she's not going to ban it. She's never said that she's banned it. And now it's a right-wing talking point to ever claim that Kamala Harris has said that she was going to ban fracking. Can I hear 13 one more time, please? I'm so sorry, because I feel like I'm going to need this a lot. Go ahead.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to ban fracking when she was a senator, when she was a California DA. She talked about how she wanted to ban it when she was the DA for San Francisco. I mean, she has said it over and over again. They say it's a Trump accusation. So now you have the Harris campaign pledges she won't ban fracking after Trump accusation. I mean, it's not an accusation. It's literally what she said. The Hill's reported on it. Yeah, Politico says, oh, she's it's after Trump's allegations come as Kamala Harris is blah, blah, blah. It's not an accusation or an allegation if she's literally on record saying it. You're that's the stupidest way to try to present this. She has said this so many times. The only thing that is different is she's trying to change what her position is in the public eye without actually explaining why she changed her position. And of course, obviously, when you do things in the public eye like that, you're going to get some questions about it. And that's exactly what's happening here. I am, you know, it's just kind of wild to me. It's not an accusation. It's not an allegation. She has said it on record. We played it for you twice. And that's just one of the audio sound bites that exists out there. She has said it over and over and over again. She's in favor of banning fracking. Now, the fact that she's trying to moderate her position in the public eye and that the media is alleging that bringing up what she has said previously on camera, the positions that she has always had her professional life and then asking why has that changed? What changed? And then for them to call that an accusation or an allegation as though they're in defense of her. That's so stupid. Our press should actually be questioning, well, why did you change your position? What made you change your position? Because you literally were talking about this just a couple of months ago where you were saying that you were in favor of banning it. Why all of a sudden now have you changed your mind? You know, but then she doesn't want to have to say, well, I'm trying to run to the middle now because, you know, our party's in a lot of trouble. And she doesn't want to have to say that. But this, the media, also, by the way, where in the hell, she's a VP. Where is POTUS? I saw this morning because there was, we'll talk about this coming up. Hezbollah attacked Israel apparently a number of kids were killed on this soccer field over the weekend and because of Hezbollah's attacks. And the Phil Gordon is his name. He is the assistant to the president and national security advisor to the vice president says, oh, well, you know, VP's been briefed and is closely monitoring Hezbollah's horrific attack. Whoa, 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 whoa. She condemns this. Okay, that's okay. But where's POTUS? There's all these. I mean, they're acting like she's already the president of the United States, that it's a done deal, and she's just stepping in for Biden right now. Where's the actual president at? Nothing said from him. Is he still in his beach house? I'm just curious if he's still in his beach house. Where's he at? It's a $1 million question. $1 million question. No, it's not only the media that's helping her and nobody's asking questions about Democrats switcheroo because they're trying to make her president right now. Google has also, and we'll dive into this, Google has also omitted Trump's assassination attempt as, I mean, they're when you Google it, they're not showing all the results of it. I don't know about you. I can't use Google for anything. When you try to research anything, it's impossible. Like you have to get around it by putting in Reddit or, you know, putting in some. It is. I've been using Twitter really as a search engine. I've been using X as a search engine with all of its, you know, it's still imperfect. But, you know, you literally cannot use at all whatsoever Google to search anything because the results are so skewed. Now there's a Senate investigation into it because the autocomplete omits all of the suggested results related to the attempted assassination against Trump. And this, people have been sharing screenshots of this. When you search the entire term, the assassination attempt of, when you try to, Trump doesn't even autofill. It doesn't come up. This is Google trying to suppress this. Google's just trash anymore. It's absolute trash. You can't find anything in the era of information and you can't find a single damn thing because of politics. And if you enter Trump assassination attempt, you get no additional terms from Google. Autocomplete offers no suggestions, nothing of that sort. Absolutely nothing. And they said, of course, you know, autocomplete, the spokesperson said, we're working to improve our systems, you know, make sure everything's up to date. Autocomplete's just a tool. This is so stupid. I mean, if you put in the assassination attempt of, it'll give you Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, list of attempted assassinations, assassination attempt, meaning Archduke Franz, Austrian Archduke, Archduke Ferdinand, Archduke, and then the attempted assassination of Gerald Ford. Trump doesn't come up at all. That's shenanigans. You all know that. That's shenanigans. It does not come up at all whatsoever. I don't know about you guys. Every day I get closer to burning it all down. What about you? Right? Yeah. Right? I'm telling you.
How's it not election interference? That's my question.
Oh, that is election interference. This is why Section 230, if you are editorializing your search results, then you are absolutely a publisher and you're not just a facilitator. Okay, so yes, it was the Last Supper creation at the Olympics, by the way. Do you guys see this? Yeah. So it was the Last Supper recreation, and the receipts of it are that they've admitted it themselves. I've seen so many hot takes about this on all over stupid Facebook and everywhere else. They're like, oh no, this Baptist preacher, I don't care what your stupid Baptist preacher says. I really don't care. I don't care what your religious leader says that, oh, well, it's not. It was actually just the paint. Shut up. You know what it is. Go sell another book for your mega church and then get involved in a scandal a little bit later. Nobody cares. It absolutely was, because they admitted it themselves. Going to the LA Times, The Wrap, and Yahoo News, Paris Olympics producers say The Last Supper was absolutely inspired the opening ceremony scene. Quote, many have done it before. That you had all these drag performers that were posing shoulder to shoulder on this bridge, and then they turned it into this catwalk, and then they had a meal where the dish that was served was this naked blue dude. And they said that, oh, it was supposed to be like a Greek feast or this or that. No, the actual producer and the people who conceived the idea said it absolutely was this. They gave quotes where it absolutely was this. They said it. And by the way, audio soundbite 30, this was the guy who directed it. Listen to this.
On fait un spectacle où chacun, chacune puisse se sentir à un moment donné représenté comme faisant partie de ce grand
groupe. Yes, de ce that grand they wanted to make sure that people, everybody felt represented. Looking at the size of some of these people, I think that they represented a couple more people than just one. But it absolutely was. I don't know why people are trying to say that it wasn't. I mean, the people who conceived it said it was. The producer said it was. The director of this segment said it was, in numerous interviews on video. And I don't know why people are trying to explain it away just because there's some Greek mythological notes in there. I mean, that doesn't, you know, come on. And they said that, that's exactly what it was. And then their defense was, well, they've done it before. So, but my question is this, did you guys expect anything different? Do you guys really expect anything different? I don't watch Bread and Circuses for this reason. I mean, I get it that you should be able to have some leisure activities, but I don't watch the games because I think all of this, I'm not going to sit here and pretend unity. I'm not going to pretend happy, play happy families with, you know, people who think that, you know, some of our allies shouldn't exist or that we should be disarmed or, you know, that if you wear a red hat, somebody's going to mow you down with an ATV like, you know, what happened last week. I don't get it. And I don't know why people are surprised by any of this. I mean, first off, it's France. I mean, you know the French, right? I mean, everybody knows the French. Come on. The libertines, y'all. You know, I mean, you had to expect something like this. The French do weird stuff. They do. They do weird, disrespectful stuff that heaven forbid you put up a damn red light camera, they'll riot. But I don't know why there are people on the right trying to make excuses for this. It is what it is. You can like it. You can hate it. It is what it is. I mean, let the people who conceived the idea and put it on and they say that it's based on the Last Supper, let them speak for themselves. You don't have to get in there and try to spin it for them. We have more on this here coming up because Bread and Circuses rages on. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, the election of Venezuela. This is very interesting. A lot of very interesting video coming out of this. Their opposition is disputing Maduro's self-coronation. They're saying he didn't actually win. A lot of tension in Venezuela after Maduro was declared winner of Sunday's election. The opposition rejected the claim. They called on the military to enforce the will of the people. The Electoral Center said Maduro won 51% of the vote, but there's video of people who are denied the ability to vote, and they were stopped. And I think that that's, I mean, clearly there's a lot of questions there. We will come back to this here. In the UK, there was a stabbing. One child was killed. Seven people were injured after a man armed with a knife rampaged through a Taylor Swift-themed kids' dance and yoga workshop at a Southport summer holiday club. And armed officers swooped in. As you can imagine, a horrific scene. They said a guy arrived in a black hood coming out of a taxi, and he had a knife. People were on the street screaming and in tears. The man has been detained. The knife was seized. I wonder if it came out of one of those free knife boxes that they had on the street corners everywhere. Lunchbox down there in North Korea got a little too chonky. North Korean officials are seeking medicines for Kim Jong-un's obesity-related health problems. Apparently, diet is not one of them. He's regained weight, appears to have health problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, and so they're looking for new medicines abroad to treat them. But I thought North Korea was so great. This is what South Korea's spy agency was telling lawmakers today. The commercial property foreclosures are surging in the second quarter, reports the Wall Street Journal. Lender portfolios of foreclosed and seized office buildings, apartments, and other property grew 13%. Thanks, Biden inflation, Biden economy. We got a lot more on the way, including the left, the people who had the suitcase stealing nuclear twink think Vance is weird. Stick with us. I actually think I carried this last week. It's an awesome 9mm striker fire pistol. It's Kel-Tec's P15. It's great no matter if you're new to carry, if you've carried for a long time. It's sleek, it's compact, 15-round capacity, lightweight, very powerful, and it's also affordable. You have two magazines that it comes with. You also have standard 15-round magazines, you know, the clipazines, minimal pinky extension, flush fit, double sag mag, holds 12 rounds as well. It's great for concealed carry. And it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category, Kel-Tec. They continue the mission of game-changing innovation and performance with this P15. And, of course, everything's quality made right here in the U.S. of A, Florida, to be exact. Learn more about the P15, one of my favorites, by visiting KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Bring the P15 to the range today. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So anyone she picks will be eminently more qualified than a guy who thinks that if you're a single, hardworking woman in America, you should have to pay more in taxes. Again, this is just bizarre. Doesn't make any sense. And by the way, if you are single and you meet someone and you want to start a family, JD Vance doesn't support you using IVF to start that family. And say, unfortunately, you start a family and your spouse becomes violent. He has said that he thinks that you should be forced to stay in a violent marriage. So I don't think Kamala Harris is going to pick anyone as weird and creepy as JD Vance.
I think it's weird for a guy who banged a Chinese spy to call anybody else weird and creepy. Eric Swalwell. I mean, this was the guy who one time asked to speak to my boss because he assumed that I, as a female, had to have a male superior, at which point I had to drop him and tell him that I am the boss. So come speak to me, son. I can't stand this guy because he's all like high on his own supply. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, Channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on Rumble and X. I'm not an Eric Swalwell fan. He's just like a guy I would never get along with. You know, you meet some people and you're like, I would never get along with you. I don't know if I would ever get along with JD Vance, but I think these comments about him are so weird. That's what's weird. I mean, you guys, the Democrats hired you guys remember the suitcase stealing nuclear twink that they had, right? The Sam Brinkman guy, the guy who, didn't he have like a security clearance? Well, he had to have some level of security clearance. He had a security clearance and he was the guy who went around stealing all of these ladies' luggage. And remember, he stole this one woman's luggage. And because I know that identity politics are very important to the left, She was a black woman, a black female designer, clothing designer, and jewelry designer, and he stole her original works and was wearing them wrongly all around town, like to different events and stuff like that. And she was like, that's my stuff. And he was able to kind of skirt consequences. He stole so many suitcases over the years. And he had a security pass and he was working in, you know, with our nuclear stash. That's what's weird. I mean, have you seen like the deputy director of health and human services? It's a dude that wants to be a woman and wants to lecture everyone else about their health. You guys don't get to sit. Why is J.D. Vance weird? Because he drinks Diet Dew. He didn't even say he drank Diet Mountain Dew. He was at an event and he pointed out that there was Diet Mountain Dew on the table. And the insufferable, ridiculous left was like, oh my gosh, he drinks Diet Mountain Dew. And they lost their minds. And by the way, his remarks on IVF, he actually never said anything about IVF. And it doesn't matter because Trump has already a position on IVF. So what does it matter if Trump is for IVF? I mean, they just want to bring this back to abortion so bad, so badly. That's all they want to do. And it's just so stupid. Stop this. But they're mad at him and they're trying to use this as an apparatus by which they can further chip away at the white suburban women's vote, which, oh my gosh, white leftist women annoy the hell out of me sometimes. They really do. Not all of them, but there's some of them that do. And I don't get it. They got together and it was like a Kamala Harris event. Where's this at? Oh my gosh. I got to play this. And then we're going to get to the cat lady. So yeah, audio somebody 24. Okay, so let me set this up. This was a bunch of white progressive women who got together over a Zoom call to talk about Kamala Harris and discussing white privilege. This is the subset of ladies that are very upset, I guess, over J.D. Vance. And they're trying to, and this is the subset of women that Democrats are trying to rile all up. Go ahead and play this because this is hysterical. This is not a parody. I feel like I'm watching like a skit a la The Californians on SNL. Go ahead.
As white women, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes. If you find yourself talking over or speaking for BIPOC individuals or, God forbid, correcting them, just take a beat. And instead, we can put our listening ears on.
What the hell am I watching?
Do learn from and amplify the voices of those who have been historically marginalized and use the privilege you have in order to push for systemic change. As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn. So do check your blind spots. You are responsible for your algorithm, believe it or not.
Is that what... If you ever wanted to see what Chardonnay looked like in bipedal form, it's that. Sponsored by Lululemon, Chardonnay, and Home Goods. That's what that whole Zoom call was about. So that chick apparently was like the Kamala Karen leader. And I loved the whole earbuds. Like there was like choreography and stuff with it. What in the world? Thank heavens that white progressive women exist, or black women would never get ahead in life because they're apparently too dumb without their white lady saviors. Do you realize how unbelievably racist that is? A bunch of these, Western society has achieved so much that these broads apparently think that there's nothing else left to accomplish or in life or to, that all the other problems are solved. So they have to create problems that they can also pretend to solve. And so they are so high on themselves, they actually think that their greatness, their self-perceived greatness, victimizes other people. That's really ultimately, when you distill all of this down, that's what they're saying. That they're so great and like so awesome that you have to check your privilege. Like, what privilege are you talking about, princesses? What privilege? I mean, if I examine my own life, I don't know, the privilege of being a statistic, of coming from a single parent household, you know, that kind of privilege, the privilege of growing up broker than Barack Obama ever could dream of, than Kamala Harris could ever dream of. I'm just curious, like, what privilege? You know, the privilege of being told that I'm a domestic terrorist by sitting members of my own government simply because I, as a female, want to make sure that I can protect myself because statistically women are more greatly victimized than men. Like that privilege. I mean, what the hell are you talking about privilege? This is so stupid. These women are just creating problems that they heard and rescued that then they're going to pretend to be the fixers of. And how condescending is that? To lecture other people and act as though women of color are so helpless and stupid that they can't figure out, that black women can't figure out life unless they have white women to help them. Oh my gosh, you know how unbelievably racist that actually is? It's like the Dave Chappelle skit where he's like a Klansman, but he's black and he's blind and he doesn't realize that nobody has the heart to tell him. So they're really upset over J.D. Vance. Then you had Chelsea Handler, who I feel like is the blonde version of Kathy Griffin, who is the female version of Carrot Top. But Carrot Top's funny and sometimes. No Norm MacDonald jokes here. Audio soundbite 25. This has, they're still going back to the J.D. Vance cat lady. Well, for his interview that he gave like some years ago. Listen to this. This is stupid.
Hey, as you might have heard, Donald Trump's running mate and future star of his own Dateline episode, J.D. Vance, is ruffling quite a few feathers this week.
We're effectively run in this country by a bunch of childless cat ladies who look at Kamala Harris. The entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children.
Listen up, you wingnut elegy. This country is still controlled by men in systems that were set up by men that are carefully crafted to continue to benefit men. So to put it in women-hating terms, you'll understand you're being hysterical. But let's be clear, there's no correlation between childless people and the presidency. For example, our very first United States president, Mr. George Washington, didn't have children. In fact, he had two stepchildren. That's right, just like someone else I know. And to your point about Kamala not being fit because she's not a mother, I'd like to remind you that no president in the history of the United States has ever been a mother. But maybe if she had five kids with three different men and a scandalous affair with a porn star and was convicted felon, that would be more palatable to Republican men. I mean, my God, are we tired. You sad, diet, Mountain Dew drinking, couch humping, dolphin porn aficionado, all of us childless cat and dog ladies are going to go from childless and crushing it to childless and crushing you in November.
You know what gets me? Are all the women who don't have kids are so damn obsessed with telling you how happy, that miserably happy they are not having kids, right?
Who was that dude?
Chelsea Handler.
Oh.
I mean, it's not even funny. I mean, it's funny like in a ridicule type of way, but it's not even funny. In some ways, I feel sad for, I mean, I know people that don't have kids and they're not obsessed with telling everyone else how happy they are without kids. But these broads apparently are obsessed with telling, making sure that everybody knows they're happy. We don't have kids. And I'm so happy. No one asked you. They hear one comment that isn't even really directed at them, but oh my gosh, they're going to break their damn legs trying to get out the door to insist that it is about them because they need that kind of affirmation. I need everyone to know that I'm very happy that I don't have kids. I'm so happy. How dare you? So that's what it's like. That's what they do. He made an off, you know. You can say whatever you want about J.D. Vance. I need y'all to explain to me how your super empowered female president was able to subsist on a ticket for 4 years with a guy that she called a pedo racist. I'm just curious. I mean, everybody remembers the stuff that Kamala Harris said about Joe Biden. So unless you guys can sit here and reconcile that, I really don't care what you think about J.D. Vance's offhand remark on something a couple of years ago. I don't know the guy. I've never met the guy. But I have seen enough of these broads to know who annoys me more. And I typically don't like to agree or find any kind of allyship with the people who annoy me more, right? I want to be annoyed less by my government and people in my government. And so having these hysterical bitches scream and moan and whine and thrash and writhe about how stop. Chill. Calm down. Just take it down a notch. You know what I mean? Just take it down a little bit. Save some drama for the rest of us, okay? Golly. It's just, I don't understand why immediately everyone thinks that it's about them. I don't know. I mean, Kane, there was nothing, his remark was, and? I mean, so?
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't understand. There is a point to be made about the priorities of people looking at policy that maybe have kids and those who don't have kids. And I think that's completely legitimate to bring up. And if you don't think it is, then we don't come from the same place. and we're never going to see eye to eye. So save your breath, because you're not going to persuade me. But that's a completely legitimate conversation to have. But to say that, and then try to take it back to IVF, which he actually hasn't really said anything on, and Trump supports IVF, so I don't know why people are mad. And then they bring up the, I don't even know what their other stuff that they're talking about. It's just goofy. It's creepy. That's what's creepy. I don't know. Isn't, Lorraine says that Chelsea Handler's been very open about her abortions too. So is she feeling some guilt? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Her package is, that's not my circus, not my monkeys, man. It's kind of, it's my whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not my dancing bears. Not any of it. Not any of it. So I don't know. People are, I think they're trying to weirdify J.D. Vance and make him somehow unsuitable for the ticket. I don't think that's going to work. And I, the reason I say that that's not going to work, Kane, again, have we seen some of the, didn't they have a guy who was in a dress, like go and do like all these videos for Kamala Harris? They literally had a pride parade, Easter celebration or something on one of the lawns of the White House where this dude who had breast implants went topless. So good luck trying to convince anyone else that anybody else other than you is the weird one here.
That was right around the first cocaine discovery.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, yeah, you got Hunter Biden leaving all this, you know, snort when he's not snorting blow off hookers' backsides, he's leaving it in the White House cubby. I mean, you have Democrats that literally made a sex tape in the Senate chamber. And yet J.D. Vance is weird because he pointed to a table that had some Diet Mountain Dew sitting on it. Do you see how stupid this is? What the hell's wrong with you people? You need to be recalibrated.
But he said cat lady, though.
Yeah, he said cat lady. I don't like cats. I'm actually super allergic to cats. I've never been able to be around cats. I'm legitimately, you know, like allergen blood tested. Actually, I didn't even have to get a blood test because my skin wolfed up so bad when I did a skin test. I'm so allergic to cats. And they're just weird. I've never held them. I have never been able to be around them. So I have like no experience with them at all. Totally fine with dogs. You know, I told you about our rescue pup that we just got last week. But I don't know why people take that to be so, you know, usually when I come across opinions that I don't like, about 90% of the time, believe it or not, I go on with my life. Every now and then I say something because there's a lot of stupid people out there. And I don't know why it is that these like leftist broads can't do the same thing. Somebody said something that you don't agree with. Quelle horreur. Go on with your life. OK, go get your Virginia Slims. Go get your Chardonnay and leave the rest of us the hell alone.
Can we not?
All right. We got more on the way. I can't believe this is what our politics are right now. Oh my gosh. All right, we got to get moving. Where the hell are we? Where are we? We're having a Joe Biden moment. Before we get going, our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio, Gold Co. Gold Co. wants to make sure that you are prepared because inflation's bad. You've seen your grocery bill. My gosh, I just went through one of those things where I reordered a whole grocery list for something I was making in the past week, and it has absolutely doubled. Same list, a year apart, it's absolutely doubled. Actually, it was a little more than doubled. This is an unprecedented time. So you need to diversify and protect what you've worked your life to save, and you can do so with the top-rated company, Gold Co. Join thousands of people like us who've turned to Gold Co., the number one rated gold company, and diversified our money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. They got thousands of five-star reviews, perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they got a kit for individual buyers to explain how the economy and all the gold IRAs work. They're all about education first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how to get started today. You'll get that complimentary wealth protection kit that gives you everything you want to know about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And I watched a clip of Trump's speech tonight. I think it was tonight. Where he was saying, you know what? I'm not going to be nice anymore. So is it okay with you all if I'm not nice anymore? And I thought, wait, were we nice before? Was he nice? And then everyone cheered. And I thought, oh my God, I have a 7-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. And I don't know what to tell them anymore about who we're supposed to be. And if this is what we're trying, if this is what we're allowing, this base, horrific, horrible nature that is within all of us to be glorified and celebrated and elected. I don't know what to do anymore.
I mean, if you can, I just be real. If you're allowing one politician to like make you have an existential crisis, then I think people have bigger problems than cat ladies. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, heaven forbid if you dislike a politician that you tell your child, you know, maybe don't do this or don't do this or this is why we don't like this, and just, you know, go on with your life instead of just like freaking out. What the hell is wrong with women in this country? Just like, you know, man up.
Who was that dude again?
Well, I mean, it's Pink, by the way. There was Pink talking. I like her husband, Corey Hart. I mean, he's, you know, he does fun stuff. And I don't dislike her. I don't know her. I don't know any of these people. I don't pretend to have an association with some of these people enough to have like a personal dislike of them. But I do wonder why people are so damn dramatic. Like, I just don't know how to go on living. If I could just take a pill, man, a chill pill, take a breather, calm down. You know, we got a whole other hour on the way too that you can calm down in. Stick with us. More in store. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Yeah, well, I think we've got all the Democrats who are ready for meaningful ethics reform to bind the Supreme Court. And we're working on changes to the Supreme Court. It can be term limits. It could be adding the number of justices. Things we can do without having to have a constitutional amendment.
Things we can do where we can just disregard the Constitution entirely. Hi, sweetie. Want a beer? You could tell, but I will never get over that video. Remember that whole thing when she offered her man a beer and he was like, well, you never offered me this. She tried to act like it was like everyday occurrence. Like, she just helps her man, offers him a beer, and he was like, you're an alien. What happened to my wife? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lashier with you at the top of the second hour. You can, if you're watching us and you're watching the simulcast, either channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, X, all those good places. And make sure you go and sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, chapter and verse. So they don't like the, you know that they don't like SCOTUS. They've been having some problems with the Supreme Court because they want to change the Supreme Court because they lost an election and they're mad about it still. And they're mad about the consequences of that. And it is, I mean, she even said they want to do something to where they don't have to have a constitutional amendment. And so this, and I got a couple of pieces here I'm pulling up. Bear with me, because the president came out. Here it is. The president has now, he's got a fact sheet that he came out with, and he wants to just redo the Supreme Court. He wants to make some changes, reform. And he wrote this big, I'm not reading the whole thing because it's, you know, they don't want any immunity for crimes of a former president. He might want to be careful with that one, because I feel like the jury is still rhetorically out there. But they get into a whole bunch of stuff that they want reforms, term limits for justices. They want a code of conduct for the Supreme Court. Basically, they don't want any conservative justice is what it is. They don't want a conservative justice. They don't want conservative justices doing conservative justice stuff. And so they're trying to figure out, the left is trying to figure out ways to rein this in. And there's a couple of different, I mean, they have a couple of different approaches, but this is one of the things too, keep in mind, that is up in November. This is one of the things that's up to you're voting on the Supreme Court coming up in November. So kind of keep that in mind as well. Tell that to all your friends. Be like, look, you're voting also on the Supreme Court. They're just mad because they were never able to win elections back when it, you know, when you had the Supreme Court justices who were after Ruth Bader Ginsburg and others and Scalia, after they had left absences. So they want a SCOTUS code of conduct. They want no one is above the law, constitutional amendment, no criminal immunity, Supreme Court term limits, etc. His plan, it was also in the Washington Post, which is actually where I first read it this morning. But this is, you know, they've been really pushing towards this. I don't know. I just don't think it's something that they can actually happen. I don't think that's something that can actually make happen. I mean, this is something that you would have to, you would have to have Congress involved. But, and he, I feel like Biden at one point sort of gave up on doing anything with SCOTUS and now he's changed. I don't know. But the plan that he put out was something that he was actually not in favor of prior. So he wants sweeping changes, 18-year term limits. It would have to be a constitutional amendment for the blanket immunity. You would have to have a constitutional amendment of that. And that's basically him, Democrats punishing, because you know Biden didn't write this. This is Democrats punishing SCOTUS because SCOTUS ruled that Trump is immune from prosecution as it relates to official acts. Now, they didn't talk about unofficial acts, but official acts. And so this is, why the 180? He doesn't know. It's not, I mean, we don't even know where the hell he is. Is he in D.C.?
That's a great question.
I mean, let's just start there. Where's Potatoes? Where's he at? We don't know. I don't know. But this idea that, well, the Supreme Court is to the right. The Supreme Court is just the Supreme Court. I mean, you've had a couple reversals that I think some people would say were to the left most recently. But you can't have any of these reforms without a constitutional amendment. You'd have to have 2/3 majorities in the chamber. You'd have to also maybe perhaps do an Article 5 convention, send it to the states. Then everybody has to ratify it. And it's never going to happen. This is, and the reason why it's coming out now is not because it's from Biden. And this is less about Biden doing a 180 on this and more about Kamala Harris bringing in those far left people that used to be on the periphery of the Democrat Party, but now are the core of the Democrat Party. The people on the periphery of the Democrat Party now are any type of like moderates, anybody who was maybe like a 90s Clinton Democrat, which is weird because you used to say Kennedy Democrat back in the day, but now it's a 90s Clinton Democrat. This doesn't do anything to help Joe Biden. This is about consolidating far left support for Kamala Harris in the party and making it look like, you know, this is something that they're moving towards. It's just really weird that he puts this out. I mean, because you have his people basically arguing that he can't do the job and he can't even run for office, but he's going to sit here and reform Supreme Court of the United States. What? This is so goofy. But it, one of the other things too, and I read this tweet and I wanted to pull this up real quick. I had retweeted it because I had asked where's POTUS at. When it said it was one of her security advisors who came out and said that they had briefed the vice president per the attack on Israel by Hezbollah. And it's like, well, where's the president at? Kamala Harris, they're acting as though she's basically president in everything but name. And this is like another policy decision, the Supreme Court thing also coming out, this reform being published in the Washington Post and elsewhere today. I mean, this is Harris and her team making policy. And they're doing all of this because they need to rile up their progressive base, which is the core of their party now. I mean, that's exactly what this is. So keep that in mind. I mean, there's no way they would meet every threshold of any of this. There's just no way that would happen. But it's not going to stop them from doing it anyway. So I'll have that fact sheet up for you later on. We'll have a thing about that. The other couple of other things here, I know we were touching on briefly the Olympics and all of that. I have not been watching the Olympics. I had a couple of people ask me if I was. I haven't been because it's a bread and circus party. We were talking about the Last Supper thing that the Olympic producers were saying it actually absolutely was based on that. And then they excused it by saying many have done it before, so it's not a big deal. And then apparently what they had, why are they having such problems in Paris? Like, didn't they say there's like sewage in their river there and they were doing these water sports on their river and didn't they have to like cancel it? That's nasty. That's nastiness. That's like some third world country stuff. And it's apparently very, come on, French folks in Paris or Parisians, I should say, just wild. But they athletes have been complaining about the accommodations, like the beds have been made of cardboard. The U.S. gymnast team, I think they had to actually go to a hotel. There was one of our teams that had to leave and go to a hotel because they said that the rooms were really bad. Like, you're sleeping on cardboard. The rooms were uncomfortable. There was like nothing. They said that they didn't have air conditioning. They're super stuffy. They said they have bog standard cardboard beds, which are super uncomfortable to sleep on. And they had a shortage of eggs, that's kind of a bad deal because a lot of athletes, I mean, you know, the French publication L'Equipe had reported that vital items like grilled meats and eggs, everything, they had to start rationing out breakfast for the athletes because they didn't have enough protein. Oh my gosh, that's wild. And people who go by, you know, meat-based protein diets to stay in, you know, peak shape, apparently the food being offered to them there in the Olympic Village is like 60% vegan. Why? That's just weird. So they've had to just, none of this looks fun, right? Aren't the Olympics also supposed to be about fun? None of this looks fun. It's bread and circuses 2024 in Paris. That's all it is. None of this looks fun. I think it is interesting that different countries, this is supposed to be like France, I guess, rolling out the welcome mat. I don't know. It's just, the whole thing's weird. I didn't watch the opening ceremony. I didn't watch a single damn bit of it. And I don't feel bad about it, Kane. Although I did kind of want to see the headless Marie Antoinette. I'm not going to lie. I had a super goth vibe that, you know, I would be down for watching that. I'd be down for watching that. Right, Kane, wouldn't you? That seemed like kind of cool. That'd be like a really cool Halloween costume.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
Apparently Lady Gaga did that, but other than that, I don't care. I don't care about anything. And and then one of the guys who was in the trans thing had one of his beans sticking out of his booty shorts. You see that story? I love the headlines from the press. Eagle-eyed viewers spot. No, it's like, you don't even have to be eagle-eyed. The man had a bean sticking out of his booty shorts. But that's what happens when you're wearing booty shorts and you're a man. I don't know. Just, this is the French. There you go. Allez-vous. So, in addition to all of this, let's go to the Secret Service story. This is a huge story that came out. More developments about this are coming out today. So, there are text receipts now. Trump's counter snipers, they have these text messages before the attempted assassination on his life that reveal how this dude was apparently, was he one step of law enforcement? Because I feel like they knew what he was doing, but no one acted on it. And they said that texts show that they were aware of him a lot longer than what was previously thought. Didn't they say it was like 20 minutes beforehand? Well, now it's like over an hour and a half that they were aware of the guy. And they said that the inquiry has been revealing this. They said that it previously was like, at first they said it was like 20 minutes, then it was an hour. Now it was over 90 minutes that they were aware of this guy. And they said that when one of the three counter snipers was about to call off at the end of their shift, around 4:26 p.m., one of the counter snipers noticed a man who later was confirmed to be the killer sitting at a picnic table. The counter sniper wrote, "Guys, I am out. Be safe. Someone followed our lead and snuck in and parked by our cars, just so you know. I'm just letting you know because you see me go out with my rifle and put it in my car, so he knows you guys are up there," he wrote. And he said that... he's sitting at a picnic table. He's sitting to the direct right on a picnic table about 50 yards from the exit. And there's a couple of responses that are redacted, and someone says, "Roger that." The New York Times wrote about this. They got the text messages and published this morning. And the, I mean, this is scary stuff. They knew about this like way earlier than was originally thought. By 5:10, they said the guy was no longer at the picnic table. He was right below them. They were upstairs in a warehouse, the AGR warehouse. One of the counter snipers took pictures of him and they had these texts. So what happened? Like how was this over 90 minutes and nothing's done? And you just let him go out on stage. What in the world? And they said that witnesses, this is even before witnesses saw him crawling onto the roof of that American Glass Research, the AGR building. They said the two remaining snipers photographed this guy multiple times. They texted pictures to the group chat. They said that another screenshot of these texts was at 5:38 p.m. That's when he left the picnic table. And they said, kid learning around building we are in. I did see him with rangefinder looking towards stage, FYI. If you want to notify SS, Secret Service snipers, to look out, I lost sight of him. Oh, my gosh. And you still let him walk out on stage. Partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure you're ready for no matter what happens, if anything comes your way, like a hurricane, like Beryl, or any kind of, heaven forbid, political disaster. ReadyWise, this is all high-quality U.S. ingredients, and it's packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant. And that's the chain of custody for your survival meals. You always know where it has been, and you can trust in what you're getting and the quality and the origin. And so it gives you peace of mind, because knowing that you're going to have food on hand for you and your family for any situation. They have a couple of things. So they have a 72-hour food kit right now. It's buy one, get one. It's $100 value. So it's basically like half off. That includes two boxes. And you get 12 pouches of premium survival food. It's over 11,000 calories in each kit. And everything is freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. You can also get 20% off of any regularly priced item when you use code DANA20 at checkout. So check out the 72-hour food kit, and when you're at ReadyWise.com, use promo code DANA20 at checkout. Get that 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Per campus reform, Columbia University has apparently partnered with a nonprofit that said that that terrorist is like a slur, a racial slur, and they've defended Hamas. It's called Slow Factory. It's an education initiative that brings together stupid stuff and blah, 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 and defends Hamas and all that. I mean, really, that's all you need to know. The Slow Factory is aptly named. That's all I'm going to say. Let's see here. Oregon wildfire explodes to half the size of Rhode Island. This is wild. Yeah, that's you know, I mean, it is summer and it's hot and it's dry. Wind and lightning strikes have sparked and fanned wildfires across the Pacific Northwest, including the largest one in the U.S. It's expanding near the Oregon-Idaho border. The Durkee Fire near Huntington, Oregon. 600 square miles have been scorched. It's actually, that's pretty crazy. So people be safe, and I'm glad. And just, I don't know. I don't have any other words for it. That's kind of scary because, I mean, what are you going to do? That's it. I mean, it's just going to burn. No amount of water is going to really put that out. That's kind of scary. That's terrifying. A woman orders an air fryer from Amazon, but she got a lizard in the box. A lizard in a box instead. So this was in Colombia. Sophia Serrano, she ordered an air fryer. They sent her a live reptile. What do you have to order to get like a dog? Out of curiosity, like another one. Just curious, like what do you have to do? She shared a picture of it and it's gone viral. Amazon apologized and they have no idea how she got a lizard in a box. And it's kind of sad because it was like a lizard in a box. Like that didn't, you know, not even properly boxed up. Like why would you send it? I don't know. There was another incident like this in India where an Amazon customer, and it's all like confirmed, opened her box to find that it contained a venomous snake. She thought she bought like a controller, but upon opening it, it was a speckled cobra and it was stuck to the tape of the box. Otherwise, it probably would have bitten her face off, I'm imagining. That's terrifying. Let's see here. A missing Henry VIII portrait was spotted on X by an eagle-eyed art historian. This is a very interesting. Imagine knowing your work that much. They identified this portrait after spotting it on social media. This guy was idly scrolling X and he, you know, saw that it was he saw this portrait in the background, identified it. Coming up, we're going to talk with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The border, to have more resources in the states and cities that are supporting migrants, and I believe we need to create a pathway to citizenship. All of that is a part of what we need to do for comprehensive immigration reform. Kamala Harris will work with Congress and get that done.
Wow, wow, wow. So that's Senator Elizabeth Warren telling CNN exactly what you can expect with a Harris administration. And she's saying that they just want to keep the border open. They're going to grant citizenship to 11 million people who enter the country in illegally. And I mean, we all would pay for it. Everyone's been dealing with the deluge across the border. And then when Operation Lone Star in Texas helped to lock it down, then the crossings began to increase in other border states. Joining us now, the governor of Texas, the great Republic of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, who joins us via Skype. We had a little tech hiccup, but we've got it fixed. We got the governor on. You know, nothing like live broadcast. Governor, good to have you. Thanks so much for joining us today. I just wanted to get your initial reaction to Senator Warren there, telling everybody what a President Harris would do. Oh, we have no sound. Oh, we do. See, it's, you know what it is? It's I don't know. It's the Marxists in the system. I don't know. We're going to get this fixed. Governor, hang on with me for just a moment. I so appreciate your time. We're going to see if we can get this fixed here. But just to recap, if people are unaware of what Operation Lone Star is, created in 2021. So just going down, they've so far transported over 119,400 illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities because they were coming in through the southern border in Texas and stressing these border communities, apprehended over 500,000 illegal immigrants, arrested over 45,500 criminals, and over 500 million doses of fentanyl. We have a fentanyl crisis. We have an opioid crisis in this country. And we've been seeing crime skyrocket. So this has been, I mean, to see that this is going to be one of the priorities of another Democrat administration is incredibly troubling. We can't deal with it already right now. We're spending tons of money on this already. Our elected leaders can only do as much as they can do. And Kane and Juan, you guys let me know when we're able to get the governor back on here. If we have to end up doing a phone call, we can. But we apologize to everyone for whatever reason. Everything's been working fine and dandy. We have some technical difficulties. But the new immigration platform from Harris, not really new. It's actually worse. It keeps getting worse subsequently with every single Democrat administration. But with this, though, the fact that they are now running on this, they don't really have anything else to run on. What are they going to run on? And she's, of course, the borders are. That's what we talked about this last week. It's what Axios called her. It's what the Washington Post had called her. It is what the Biden administration called her. I mean, they still have the declaration or the proclamation, rather, up on their website. They called her the borders are. Nothing has been done. It's just been made more difficult for these border towns. And so now to have this amnesty granted to 11 million plus people who have come in illegally is just a little bit more than we can stand here. We're not going to be able to handle this. Not going to be able to handle this at all. I wanted to play real quick audio soundbite for this is Pete Buttigieg talking about, they're defending Kamala Harris against the claims that she is the border czar. Listen to this.
Yeah, let's be very clear about this, because there has been a lot of mischaracterization. She was not in charge of the border. The Homeland Security Department is in charge of the border. She did do something important, though. She was assigned to conduct diplomacy with Central American countries.
But she was, though, and I never will understand this idea that she was going to go and find the direct causes or the immediate causes of illegal immigration. Whatever, look, I understand that there's probably an American interest in figuring out what the difficulties are in some countries that's encouraging this, you know, massive illegal entry in our southern border. But our first and foremost job is securing our border. And I think we have the governor on the phone now. I think Kane's giving me the sign. You give me the all clear.
Yeah, try to solve the audio issue with maybe a phone call.
No one wants the governor to talk.
On the phone and on video.
They are trying to silence the Texas governor. They're not. Yeah. The tech overlords, the tech edgelords are trying to stop the Texas governor from talking. Let's see if we have him. Governor, do we have you?
Hey, you sure do. Great to be with you, Dana.
Yes, I love it. God bless America. God bless Texas. You're not going to make him silent. You're not going to keep him down. Governor, I appreciate your patience with us as we got this figured out. Okay, this isn't new, this amnesty policy, Governor, with the Democrat administration. It's not new. However, this is, 11 million plus illegal immigrants, amnesty. If this is what we can expect in a Harris administration, I wanted to get your reaction to what Senator Warren was talking about.
So the first thing is they are finally saying the quiet part out loud. We've all known they've been wanting to give citizenship to all these people coming across the border illegally. And now they have revealed through Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, exactly what Kamala Harris's attitude is about illegal immigration. And listen, this is like not a new proposition for Kamala Harris. As you were talking about earlier, she said that that illegal immigrants should be decriminalized and that they should be given free health care. And so she wants to entice even more people to come here with no consequences for coming here. And they want to make it a permanent situation where anybody can come across the border illegally and be a part of this country. And for one, that's just flat out wrong. And listen, the Republicans in Congress, Republican governors like myself, will push back hard against that. And I can tell you that there is no legal authority for doing that. And we will take legal action and shut it down real quick.
Yeah. We're talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. You know, she denied being the border czar, although even though it was up on the White House, we talked a little bit about that. I heard you say she never, ever once at all spoke to you, reached out to you, asked you a single question about the problems at the border, but she was supposed to get to the origin of it, I guess, the where all these causes were coming from, but she never spoke to you ever.
Correct. And to put this in context, Texas represents 2/3 of the entire border with Mexico. And so there's no more prolific border state or border government involved in this entire process. And you know, leaving aside titles, her duty, her responsibility, at the request of the President of the United States, was to ensure that she was addressing illegal immigration. What better person to talk to than the governor of the border state that at that time was having to deal with it prolifically? In fact, however, Dana, know this. Because of her refusal to even come to the border, let alone talk to me, that was part of my idea. When I began busing migrants to sanctuary cities, the first place we sent them to not only was to Washington, D.C., but we dropped them off at the residence of the Vice President of the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, she's living her platform. She's living her policy, Governor. I would think that she'd be out there welcoming them because that's what she's advertised as part of her policy. Talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, Operation Lone Star, you bring up, the biggest sharing of the border with Mexico, Texas, the number of people that you have sent to sanctuary cities or have apprehended. And then this is started in 2021, the fentanyl that's been seized. I go back to my point. You've been incredibly successful and doing everything that you can with your authority as governor, you know, against the federal government, trying to reduce this as much as possible and reduce this burden on Texas residents and really, you know, everyone else, because this all goes into the interior. I'm just kind of stunned that the administration hasn't said, you know, ideologies aside, you know, we're Democrats, you're Republicans, something that you're doing is working, because now the crossings are increasing in states that don't have these policies in place. Maybe you can share the secrets of your success if they were truly serious about really getting a handle on this problem.
Right. So I think it reveals the reality, and that is they do not want to have success on the border. Because here are the facts, and that is through the, remember those big orange buoys we put into the Rio Grande River? Biden filed a lawsuit to put a stop to it. That lawsuit is still in court as we speak. However, those, as Dana, as you and I are talking today, those buoys remain in the Rio Grande River. You also know that we've had the National Guard, thousands of them, erect hundreds of miles of razor wire border barrier to deny illegal entry into the state. When you combine those two factors together, in Eagle Pass, Texas, where Joe Biden was allowing 5,000 people to enter illegally, there are now only, or actually less than one person a day entering illegally. If you look at the entire Texas border altogether, while illegal immigration has gone up in other states, in Texas it has gone down 85%. Bottom line is this: Texas has shown that we can employ strategies that work. The Biden administration does not want them. Last thing, Dana, let me tell you this. All Texas is doing is enforcing laws that were on the books before Joe Biden became president. One requires the president to deny illegal entry. The other is to detain illegal immigrants. The third is to build border barriers. That's all that Texas is doing. And Biden and Harris have refused to do any of those.
Yeah. Biden and Harris, speaking of which, they're expected to visit Houston this week. I think they're going to be there, what, in just a couple of days for Sheila Jackson Lee's service. And I'm just getting the sense that they're going to try to use this also as a way to hit out at you and your policies, and not just on immigration either, but illegal immigration rather, but also on education. I was reading this story this morning. It's from a Dallas affiliate, NBC affiliate, WFAA, talking about teachers union saying that, oh, Greg Abbott is defunding public schools. You've done quite a lot to support school choice. What do you say to the head of the American Federation of Teachers that's accusing you of being against education with us?
So this head of the teachers union should be extraordinarily embarrassed, because remember this, during the time of COVID, she was the one insisting, demanding, and succeeding at that about having teachers not go to school and not teach in person. She's the one who demanded kids learn through Zoom and things like that. She is the person more than anybody else in the country who set our kids back by years in their education. And so for her to talk about anybody is reprehensible. And she needs to be held accountable. In fact, she should be eliminated from any education position because she's destroyed education for our kids. That said,
she hints that real quickly. I want to tell people she hit out at Houston's ISD independent school districts because apparently they've seen test results improve with a lot of these new educational policies coming down from Republican legislation and the governor's office. And she's very upset about this. So they're going to try to use this as a negative. And then when Biden and Harris visit this week, they're going to use that Sheila Jackson Lee's service to further try to elevate this issue and attack the governor. Sorry, Governor, didn't mean to interrupt you, but wanted to give some context there.
But remember, she is the head of a union that has a monopoly on education, but by government education across the entire country. And when a monopolist fears losing control, they are willing to cast lies and aspersions that are completely false. So let me give you and your audience the facts. This past year, Texas added $6.6 billion for public education. Public education funding in Texas now is at an all-time high. Per pupil funding now is at an all-time high. Those are three facts that she took the opposite position on. But that said, kind of one thing that's stirring her up is the fact that we are advancing school choice in the state of Texas. As you know, I campaigned for it. We have enough votes to get it passed. It will become law next year, and we are going to disrupt the government union of educating our kids and put the power where it belongs, and that is with the parents of these children.
Which is something to definitely celebrate. And I'm so happy that this is going to become a law next year. And to touch on the Texas Education Agency, the big Houston district took control of that June of last year. And I could sit here and go down the list, Governor. I was just looking at all the improvements that they've seen. When you actually start making, you know, these entities that are responsible for educating our children accountable, and when you get the bureaucracy and the corruption out, I mean, we see what test scores improve, higher attendance. I could go down the list of statistics, but this has been a major improvement, kind of a blueprint for really ultimately how you would approach education at large. One last word just on this issue.
Sure. Well, understand this. So Texas did take over the Houston Independent School District. To do so by law, they had to fail not only once, twice, three or four times in a row, but 5 years wow. in a row for us to take over. And when we did, one thing that the new superintendent was able to do was to rearrange the use of the money, terminate people who were not needed, and be able to increase average teacher pay from $65,000 a year to $82,000 a year without using a single dollar more of taxpayer money. And you pointed out how test scores had gone up, which they had. Attendance has gone up, but also dramatically, there's been a substantial reduction in disciplinary problems.
Yeah.
So everything is going in the right direction. And of course, again, the union head cannot have that happen because that could cause the dissolution of their entire union because the policies of the union are failing teachers, parents, Texans, and Americans.
There you go. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, appreciate you joining us, sir. Thank you for your patience as we ironed out these tech difficulties right at the start. We always enjoy having you on. We look forward to it again. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people are very careful about who they do business with. It seems like they're careful about that in every way except with their cell phone service. And I'm here to ask why. See, if you're fed up with supporting companies that hate you, like these people hate you, then why would you not switch? Patriot Mobile is literally, that's using it correctly, the only Christian conservative wireless provider that exists in the US of A. And you get the best service in your area without funding the Marxists. They have reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. And when you switch, you are going to save money because they have plans tailor-made for everyone, for singles, for, you know what, for bitter cat ladies. They even got plans for you old broads with cats. They got plans for everybody. Dinks, you know those, the dual income, no kids, you dinky dinks. They got the families, if you're cheaper by the dozen size, they got a plan for you. Businesses of all sizes, keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade, the choice is yours. And another difference is that it's a 100% based, U.S.-based customer service team, so you're maintaining and creating new jobs. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by other providers who are pretending to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month of service today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So where to even start? Let's see. There was a Florida man who was accused of stealing cheese and bug spray in a $400 Walmart heist. Cheese and bug spray. Yeah, 41-year-old Matthew Ferris. He's charged with petty theft. Bond was set at $2,500. That's a lot. He was had a black backpack and a duffel bag, and he was transferring items, according to the affidavit, between the bags. Walmart loss prevention officer contacted the police. He stole a rain jacket, a stove stand, chicken, cheese, and bug spray. $376, some change, was the amount of stolen merchandise. He's still in jail. Goodness. I mean, you can judge people, you know, by what they buy. Do you ever do that? Like, you're in the grocery store and you see people buying stuff. Like, if you see people buying, like, you know, bought, like, somebody buying, you know, some wine and, like, a frozen TV dinner, you're like, oh, that's so sad. You know what I mean? Like, one of those things. You're buying bug spray and cheese. It's kind of weird, right?
Right.
Just saying. It's a little weird. A couple of others here. Let's see. This, I got another story about somebody who was trying to drunkenly flee on a golf cart. That's apparently a big thing. There was a kid who got stabbed in the chest by a catfish, a Florida kid. Airlifted to the hospital. It was a Florida kid. Pasco County Fire Rescue had responded. It was a catfish barb that was lodged like an inch in. That's holy cow. They don't know how it happened. They just said it was odd. You know, they said you might hear of a fisherman being cut by a barb, like on a leg or something, but never something like this. And catfish carry poison in the spines and their back and side fins, but not in their whiskers. And you know, they can sting. Something growing up with catfish I did not know until I was almost an adult. You know, well, stick with us. We got a whole other hour on the way. Stephen Yates will join.
If you look at the full context of what I said, it's very clear the Democrats have tried to take this thing out of context and blow it out of proportion, which is what they always do, Trey, because they don't have an agenda to run on themselves.
Well, that's J.D. Vance talking about the whole cat lady thing. And what's lost in this is his whole point. His whole point is that when you have an increasing segment of society, like I make fun of like the acronym DINK, right? Because it's funny. It means dual income, no kids. It sounds silly, but it's a very real thing. When you look at the U.S. barely maintaining a birth rate, which is incredibly important for a healthy nation, a healthy economy, etc. Just look at Japan. I mean, look at Italy. I mean, you need to have Russia's paying people to have kids right now. These are, when you look at, you know, the dual income, no kids, when you look at women who choose to either not have kids or whatever reason they don't have kids, and you know the cat thing is kind of a joke. It's a more smart aleck way to discuss a very real problem that is going to become a bigger problem as we go into the future as a country. And I think it's a completely sound point to make. Regardless of whether someone likes how he made it or not, it is still a legitimate concern. But focusing on the way that he made it and acting as though that is bigger than the concern at hand, it's that the way he talked about it is somehow bigger than the problem itself, is a dodge. It's silly. And it also sort of intimates that he or people on the right have been only solely the origin of remarks like this, which is entirely false. And I get it that some people are out there saying, well, you know, how you say things is incredibly important. And, you can't, if you're running for a higher office, you can't say things like that. And that's all well and good. But why not? Why not? I mean, at some point, have you had enough ridicule? Are you tired of being ridiculed? I mean, this pales in comparison to the amount of ridicule that, you know, people who are like-minded as we are have received over the past decade plus. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. Find us at Substack as well. Chapter and Verse. Sign up YouTube and Facebook. Why can't you say stuff like that? It is a legitimate concern. And it's a segment that I think that it's a concern that's really driven because of the policies of the left. Policies of the left, we can sit here and talk about how economically they're not family friendly, etc. But like, dive deeper into it. The view of what a family is, or what the value of a family as the building block of a functioning civil society, is really devalued by the left. And then they devalue the building block that is the family, and then simultaneously wonder why they can't create a healthy functioning society. It's because healthy functioning societies don't run on fantasy. You know, they run on very real things, and having a healthy, stable family is one of them. It's to talk about it in this way, I have no problem with. And I guess if I was advising politicians, well, you can win more people with honey. But you know what? I'm tired of that. I really am. I'm really tired of it. There's nothing mean that he said. It wasn't ignorant. It's not anything more ignorant than anything the left has said about him or his wife or his kids or anything else, you know, since he was selected as VP. I mean, for crying out loud. I'm amazed that they're all, you know, the party of Harvey Weinstein is just all of a sudden just aghast at the, you know, old cat lady kind of reference. So I don't know. Maybe there are some women that are impressionable enough to be influenced by things like that. But I tend to maybe perhaps have a higher respect for women and think that, well, you know, maybe they're going to realize that not everything is about them. Not every comment is about them. and stop victimizing yourself. I mean, if you're constantly seeing, you know, yourself targeted, then maybe it's an issue of how you perceive yourself and not what someone else is saying. I mean, what he's talking about, by and large, it's not people who are trying to have families and are struggling. I mean, I can't believe we have to deep dive and baby walk into this thing like this, but we live in an idiocracy, so here we are. The left clearly promotes anti-family policies, things like abortion on demand, etc. Abortion on demand all the way up to the moment of birth, taxpayer funded. That's a real thing. So that's, you know, he's making, you know, a snide remark on the policies that the left is promoting and how it does not contribute to the health of the country. And it's more than just that, but they're trying to distill it down to one thing while also making it like it's an attack on IVF, which Trump came out already in favor of. So that's not even it. He didn't even remark on that. It's just dumb. He talked about this audio soundbite 16. He mentioned climate change along with this same interview. Listen.
Left has increasingly become explicitly anti-child and anti-family. They've encouraged young families not to have children at all because of concerns over climate change. They've suggested that people who do have children are somehow being selfish, when I think being a parent is actually the most selfless thing that you can do.
He's not at all wrong on that point. I mean, how many times have you heard on this program, we'll be reading headlines or I'll play audio sound bites of politicians or thought leaders on the left that actually say you should limit how many kids you have, if you have any, or you should, you know, not do this with your children, or et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's prevalent. It's a prevalent thought on the left, and it's become culture into policy. And it's one of the things that they promote. So that's what he's talking about. It's a snide remark is nothing compared to the seriousness of the problem that he's actually addressing here. But you can't expect the left to take that and look at that, because then they have to admit that their policies are fraught with problems. So instead they want to make it like, oh, he's attacking women and he's attacking them. I'm so tired of being told by the left every damn day that everyone who does not conform to their hive mind is somehow attacking women, attacking being female, attacking this. Like, if someone doesn't pay for your, you know, birth control, then you're denied it. If someone is not paying for your abortion on demand up until, you know, the ninth month of pregnancy, then you're barred from being able to make choices about family planning and or anything. I'm just so tired of this used car salesman. All you care about is the cup holder shtick that is just dominates the left's approach to women and get out the vote mechanism. And what floors me even more, and this is what I would have said if I were him, I thought women were smart enough to not be duped by these absolute progressive patriarchy, sexist comments all the damn time, only lecturing women about abortions and vaginas, and that's it. Oh my gosh, you're not getting a freebie from Uncle Sam, you're being denied, ladies. You're not getting this from Uncle Sam, you're being denied, ladies. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again, every damn decade. How are women still buying into this nonsense? That's the thing. If you want to be offended about something, be offended over that. Be offended over the fact that you are treated like you are a mindless moron every time the elections roll around. We're only going to talk to you about abortions, lady, and about to sexisms, because that's all we think that you can relate to. We'll save the big stuff for the men. We'll show the men what's under the hood, but you guys just get the lighted mirrors and cup holders. That's exactly what it feels like every damn election. And these bitches are going to get mad over a cat lady comment. Yes, you are a bitch. If you're angrier over that, then you are angry over the way that the left has treated you decade after decade. Spare me your absolute Chardonnay-fueled tantrum. I'm so tired of it. Every election, I've grown up with this. I'm so tired of it. Find something else to complain about. Maybe talk about how the economy is making it where women are having to work double jobs. Women are having a difficulty creating businesses. Women are limited in how many children they can have because this Biden economy doesn't support it. But oh my gosh, J.D. Vance said something about cat ladies. No one cares. Quit making everything about you. You know, and then there's the dudes. You don't get a pass either. I'm going to go to Mark Hamill's thing on this. Oh my gosh, this guy doesn't go away. He never goes away. So now they're doing a White Dudes for Harris event. I think this is supposed to be like funny, teehee, I don't know. Mark Hamill tweeted it out. They went to the vanilla wafer Triscuit man factory where all these dudes are like the same. Poot Booty Juice, Mark Hamill, some other people, I don't know. Josh Groban. Really? All these boring dudes. I'm trying not to make a really obvious joke here. But they're segregating themselves. The dudes are like, let's have a white dudes thing. Actually, I take it back. The women aren't the bitches. These guys are. I take it back. These are the real bitches. These dudes. So they got, I don't even know who half of these people are. They're so boring to me. Gosh, Josh Gad. I know him because he was that snowman in Frozen. And all he does is complain. Golly. I'm going to tell you something. The worst thing. There is something worse than a woman who always complains. And you know what it is? It's a man who always complains. Because you almost expect it of a woman. But when I see a man do it, like the ovaries across the nation cry out in despair. Stop it. It's like natural birth control. Ugh. So they're doing this White Dudes for Harris event. They're segregating themselves. Is it only for white dudes? Apparently so. It's just a white dude thing. It's not racist at all. It's only white people. I mean, exciting whites. It's like the Chardonnay aisle at the Kroger. I don't even know, man. It sounds kind of like, why do you have to segregate yourself like this? When you do this, aren't you saying that, well, there's something different from us than you, so we have to do something differently that you can't be part of? I mean, that's just like what I come to, right?
I think it's just a racist label protection. Like, I think they think they're protecting themselves from being labeled racist.
I mean, maybe. It's just weird. So they're doing, it's a virtual meeting too. That's even worse. Ugh, gosh, I'm so tired of the virtual meetings. Would you like to join via Zoom? No, I wouldn't. I'm actually, sidebar, I'm trying to get a cut out of a giant middle finger that I can just put in my chair whenever like they were supposed to do like these Zoom meetings or whatever, which I don't like doing because it's a communist Chinese entity. That's a whole other topic. So this is, I think, even worse is this thing, is the dudes. I don't know. Like And the Mark Hamill is more of a pick me girl than any other chick I've seen complaining, even on the left. He is more of a complainer than any leftist woman I've seen. I can't even believe I'm saying, right? I am so right on this. You know it.
Absolutely right.
Does he have an apple or banana? I think that needs to be confirmed because I can't tell from his behavior. I'm talking about his, like, for what he prefers with fruit, guys. What's the matter with you? Something's wrong with you. Golly, you guys even think that such things. All right, we got more on the way. We got headlines coming up. And then we got to get into, if I have time, the way that Elon Musk got shut out of this EV event. Did you guys hear about this real quick? The White House, they had this like event. It was the White House EV summit, and Biden had all these like EV people there, GM. Elon Musk wasn't invited. And then he credited GM with, quote, "You electrified the industry, you led." Tesla delivered 115,000 EVs in the U.S. GM produced just 26 when Biden made these remarks. What? They don't like him because he doesn't agree with them, so he doesn't exist. See?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is kind of wild. Divers found cases of 150-year-old sparkling wine in a shipwreck off the coast of Sweden, and it might still be drinkable. No one tell all these, like, the cat ladies out there that are, oh my gosh, everybody get offended. You know I'm joking. Come on. They, first off, like, what, can I just be real? Like, I see, because they took pictures of it, and it looks pretty grody. My first thought is, is that drinkable? That's not my first thought. I got to be honest with you. Not my first thought. And I don't know if it's, like, corked, then can't it still get, like, seawater in it through the cork? Especially if it's been under there for 150 years, right?
It's also waxed. Maybe not.
Is that, I don't know. Like, I've got some, like, questions about the bottling process here. I don't know. California education official embezzled over $60 million. Hid the cash in a mini fridge. You know, $7.7 million of property, all kinds of stuff. This, oh my gosh. All high in tequila. A former public school district official, Jorge Contreras, 53, worked in the Magnolia School District. It's a public district. He was sentenced to 70 months in federal prison, had to pay over $16 million in restitution. He pled guilty to embezzlement and theft and intentional misapplication of funds and all of this stuff. He spent it on a very lavish lifestyle. Oh man, it's bad. And I mean, these people, like, when he purchased all this luxury stuff, like, tackiest taste ever. Just like, why? Let's see this. This selfie. Can we please stop this? This is another selfie death. A young couple expecting a baby were swept out to sea and killed by a freak wave while taking a photo via the New York Post. Oh my gosh. They were on what the area called the Death Rocks in this part of California. And the 30 and 33 year old, young parents, they were in Santa Cruz. There's a lot of currents. They say it can change very quickly. They were taking a photo with the sea as their backdrop, doing a selfie. And they got a huge wave came in and they got swept out to sea. I mean, there's like warning signs and everything. That is so awful. Oh my gosh, what a horrible, horrible story. Just people be careful. I've seen people fall down, like myself, in public, like trying to do selfies and something happens. So stop that. Stephen Yates, up next. Stay with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
So that's some voting in Venezuela. No. Yeah, or rather like no voting in Venezuela. So they had some elections. But interestingly, there were a lot of people who came out to vote against Maduro. And Maduro's like, no, I've already won. He's like already out there trying to say, no, I won. You really didn't. It's under question. And then, of course, like China wasted no time. Oh, yes, we're going to further strengthen our relations with Venezuela. Maduro says he's won another term. We agree with Maduro. We're going to continue working on our relations with you. They're so snotty. They're so you knew that they were going to immediately come right out and not even pay any heed to what the opposition was saying or the, videos like the one we just played where people were being locked out of polling stations. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you joining us now. We're so happy to be back with him. He's been traveling. We were traveling. And then all craziness broke loose in the news cycle. Our good friend Stephen Yates. You can find him at YatesComs. And he is senior fellow at America First Policy Initiative. And he's chair of the China Policy Initiative as well. He joins us via Skype. So, I mean, so Venezuela had their elections. And the really, from what I saw, I think China was like first out of the gate saying, oh, congratulations. Yes, Maduro, we can't wait to work with you some more. So that made me also think that he didn't win. In addition to the opposition saying that they got more votes than him, China immediately coming out and saying, yes, congratulations, immediately made me think he also didn't win, Steve.
Well, there's several things about this that I don't like. First, yay, another day in paradise. I thought that was a perfect segment there to let people know what a wonderful utopian society they've got going on down there. But number one, we're all jaded about polls and exit polling, but you go into a contest and someone's up by 35% and then they come or that, and then the other guy ends up winning by like 25%. Obviously, something's not right there.
Yeah. So,
this is one of those things where, yeah, I'm sure this was a super clean and orderly, well-observed process. And the other thing I don't like about it is that the U.S. government, right off the bat, is sort of saying, yeah, we look forward to engaging and working toward a day when democracy will improve in Venezuela. I'm like, my goodness. What an absolute lost set of souls these must be. I mean, we don't need to go in and occupy this country, but we shouldn't be engaging in international make-believe. And our friends in the region can see with their own eyes and hear with their own ears. And so we're doing to the region what the left has been trying to do to us domestically, to just falsify everything that we know. And so we were left with my new favorite Western Hemisphere leader, Milei, saying, no, I'm not going to accept this outcome. This was This was a complete fabrication. And yeah. By the way, their system sucks, and so we're not going to deal with them that way. And so, my goodness, if we could have 10% of Malay, then America has got hope for a future in this hemisphere.
And I love, and that's, of course, he's talking about Javier Milei, who's the Argentina's head. I love that he came out and said, no, this is the opposition. They won. This Maduro loser lost. And I love that you have Argentina countering China in this. And I don't want China to get a greater, we've talked about this before. I don't want them to get a greater foothold here, but I don't put it past them helping to like finance or in any way that they can help to weaponize anything on behalf of Maduro down there.
No, of course, it's an easy layup for them to do. But I mean, you're the Venezuelans. So who's next? Little Rocket Man coming through to endorse your victory?
No, they're putting him on a diet. The lunchbox down there in North Korea, the South Korea spy agency said they're looking for obesity medicines because apparently a diet isn't one of them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he does, I think, have a higher percentage win than even Xi Jinping got. And they both left Maduro in the dust when it came to the high percentage election wins in their democratic processes. But yeah, it's a sad day when this is kind of the political warfare we're dealing with. And if we had a government that was paying attention and basically doing simple things in the District of Columbia, then we would have an effective counter to this. And as I mentioned, and you did too, I mean, we have allies who can speak the truth. Why not just support them?
$1 million question. Why not? That seems to make sense. You know, you're talking about elections, obviously the one that we're gearing up for here in November as the new nominee for president for Democrat, well, not officially yet, Democrat side, is searching for a VP. One of the names that's been thrown up is Senator Mark Kelly, but he's got a little bit of baggage. I mean, if we're talking about foreign policy and national security, he apparently started, and we had those spy balloons, those little spy balloons that were floating around, you know, what, a year ago? Not even a year ago. So he apparently started an actual literal spy balloon company, and it was funded by the communist Chinese. The former astronaut who's been in U.S. Senate in Arizona since 2020. I knew that he had, I thought originally he was an investor, but it goes way deeper than that. Like he actually like created the company. Like he co-founded the company and worked with a communist Chinese venture capitalist, as much as you can venture in the communist country. That seems to be a major, major problem, especially in this, you know, political form, you know, this geopolitical environment. For him to be considered a VP candidate, and he seems to be like one of the top picks right now. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not a fan of those that do business with the big China. And so I want to make sure that there's some intense vetting for these kinds of candidates. But, you know, we have the least vetted presidential nominee in history who's going to have a short period of time to vet these other candidates. And I assume she's looking for someone who's going to have to be boring because you got to make sure that the VP is not upstaging the president. With Senator from Arizona, you'd think, well, Arizona's in play. I don't know. This time around, maybe less so than in 20 and 16. But I hear from a lot of friends and family that I have not been able to convert to common sense that they like him. He seems to be the talk of the town right now as the running mate.
Wow.
The ties to China are a problem. But newsflash, a White House with ties to China sounds like continuity, not change.
That's actually a really good point. I mean, you're going from the Bidens and making all that money with CEFC and then now going to this. There is a summit that began today where you have a number of lawmakers from 35 different countries, as you know, concerned about democracy and Beijing. And they're meeting apparently in Taiwan. But of course, Beijing has been pressuring lawmakers from at least six countries to not attend the summit in Taiwan because they're personally offended that Taiwan is going through the summit because they view Taiwan as part of their territory, where Taiwan says not really. And so do the facts. But, you know, I digress. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this because they're looking at Bolivia, Colombia, Slovakia, North Macedonia and Bosnia. And there's another Asian country. They say they've been getting text bombed, flurries of calls and demands for meetings that would tie up all of their time so they couldn't go to Taipei for the summit. I'm not surprised, but are they going to fold?
Well, this just holds up the old axiom that there's nothing quite so vicious as these forms of politics because the stakes are so low. And so you'd think that going to some meeting where you're going to get a bunch of people jawboning about democracy, it's not like that alone spreads democracy. I mean, good for them for being on the right side of the discussion table, but it's not like world events have been shaped by convening international conferences. And yet this is what Beijing wants to fight. And yes, they do put out their bot armies, their spam armies, their text message armies, and even some actual human beings to harass people and waste their time so that you can't go to Fantasy Island and talk about voting for your leaders and holding them accountable. Terrible things that can happen when people get together and talk about having verifiable elections. Going to an island where they have between 12 and 15 million people vote in person with ID on a paper ballot, all the ballots counted by 8:30, 9 p.m. latest, no disputes on the outcome. What a horrible thing for people to see.
Yeah, I'll completely agree. I wanted to ask you one last story. This has to do with Japan and the United States. I love how they act. I was reading this piece and I'm like, it's not really, we're not, it's the United States and Japan merely responding. Not everything is a swipe. It says U.S. Japan take a swipe at China and deepen defense ties. They issued scathing verbal attacks on China and Russia after high level discussions. This is over the weekend. The close defense collaboration between Tokyo and Washington, which I'm happy to see. But they were objecting to China's, you know, unlawful maritime claims in the South Sea, et cetera, et cetera. And then Russia's, you know, Russia's just nothing more than their second banana at this point. They're a vassal state of China. So I don't know, you know, there's not, it's not even an alliance at this point. But I'm happy to see the closeness of the relationship between the U.S. and Japan. But I don't know why. I mean, it's not a swipe. They're trying to make it, to me, it sounds like they're trying to make it more aggressive than it is. They're just, U.S. and Japan are just merely holding the line. That's it. It's not any more aggression than what it is, just that.
Well, it's kind of what we would expect. I mean, after all, China and Russia were using their jet fighters to buzz Alaskan airspace not that long ago. And lo and behold, the U.S. and Japan are in this super new thing called an alliance. It's only been around since the end of World War II. And so, you know, yeah, alliances are going to get together and deepen defense ties. There's a shocker for you. So, you know, congratulations to Beijing for getting on the high horse and jawboning about alliances doing alliance things. And frankly, I'm all for the U.S. and Japan making their hair curl even more. So maybe get together and have another exercise just to keep the ink flowing in Beijing as they do this.
They need to have some We Love Taiwan merch. Just like put out some of the hats and T-shirts like, hey, it'd be fun to see.
I still want the Winnie the Pooh Baleen Brigade to Winnie the Pooh just float into China 1,000 balloons at a time. Randomly, there'd be a great alliance contribution to peace.
You're right. Why haven't we done that kind of balloon? Like they send spy balloons. We send poo balloons. Winnie the Pooh.
I know. I mean, it works on every level. How it sounds and how it looks. It's over to you, Beijing.
It's easy to press their buttons. Super easy. Stephen Yates, our very good friend. Make sure you follow him at YatesComms. He has always great insight on all these issues. My good friend, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. You too.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Schwab and Fauci during his Vegas performance. I mean,
somebody's got to do it.
I know. I feel like, look, if you're watching the simulcast, he's got a big old picture of Fauci face palming behind him on screen. Yeah, somebody's got to do it. Why not Morrissey? Yeah. Why not? Why not Morrissey? There it is right there. I feel like I would get along with him. I mean, I always loved the Smiths, you know, mm-hmm. Always liked the Smiths. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. He hasn't been quite shy about his thoughts on clot shots and things like that as of late. Has he, Kane?
No.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's got more cred than a lot of people that would, you know, ding him for it. But, you know, there it is. So, again, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The AI stuff, we keep seeing these stories about Google censorship. It is amazing. Like, it's even coming. I mean, it's every. Does it matter what browser it is really anymore? I mean,
no, I think it's just the actual site of Google itself.
You can't even use Google for anything.
No.
You can't search anything on it. You know what else I can't stand are all the AI generated synopsis of, like, whether it's comments on Facebook. Right. Like, for instance, if you go to some of these posts, like, let me just use one of mine, for example, on my Facebook page. You know, if I say something about dogs or whatever, it'll be like, well, users respond to dogs and how they think that they're cuddly and they like the dogs. Like that's the stuff. When you, before you read the comments, there's like a summation of it, of what people are saying. And it's the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. I'm looking at this like, why does this need to be summed up? This is so silly. And the cat lady comment rages. That's still with J.D. Vance. That's still going on. It's all over media. I don't know. Like, media, it's like really into it. Dan Abrams owns media. So they reached out. Yeah. They reached out. They asked if I would talk to him tonight. It's like 8 o'clock at night. Asked if I'd talk to him tonight about the J.D. Vance cat lady thing. It's like, what's there to say about it? What is there to say about it?
That's what he should say.
Yeah, I mean, separate how he said it with whether or not his point is legitimate. When it's a greater story that's talking about the future of the country and the health of the future of the country. I think when you're talking about limiting population growth, that negatively impacts the health and future of the country, correct? Because that's literally where we are right now. So, oh, but I just don't like that he said, it's like, nobody cares. Oh my gosh, I've been called a domestic terrorist because I simply want to exercise my 2A rights. You're asking the wrong person about the cat lady thing. You know what I mean? I don't know. So we'll see. And maybe I'll update you like on Facebook or X or something like that. Because I guess it's live. I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's live, yeah. All right. Today in stupidity.
All right. Juan, this will be cut 8. This is, isn't it Senator John Ossoff? I think he's from Georgia. But Ossoff here is saying that, you know, this is what the left does. They can't actually argue or debate with merit and fact. This is what they do. Listen to cut 8.
It's clear that the former president and his allies in Congress are having a very difficult time restraining themselves from levying these kinds of overtly racist and sexist attacks.
Oh my gosh,
against Vice President.
Isn't he like, isn't he like the whinier Buttigieg?
It's their go-to debate strategy. Yeah, he is. He is.
Buttigieg?
He's like the straight Buttigieg.
Yeah. I don't get mad at us. We say it like Joe. Somebody got mad at me. I say it like Joe Biden, the illustrious president of the United States, says it. How dare you, sirs? How dare? All right, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Sign up. Also, like and subscribe over at YouTube, Facebook. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.